Back in 1859, people all over the country were roused in the middle of the night by a light so bright, so dazzling, you could read by it. What was causing the night sky to light up with a glowing ribbon of yellow, white, and crimson? An especially powerful aurora, huge solar eruptions that scientists now refer to as the Carrington effect, a Carrington event, rather. While the ribbons that lit up the sky that September night must have been beautiful, they wreaked havoc on communication wires and telegraph systems. The same thing happened today. Experts say it would be a catastrophe. That's why scientists like Carrie Black of the Space Weather Laboratory at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center monitor solar activity so closely. Black is one of many scientists who are attending a conference this week at STOE that's focusing on space weather, and she joins us now to talk about some of the latest findings. Dr. Black, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Nina.
So, I think this story is so fascinating. What exactly happened back in 1859, and how unusual an event was it?
Well, there was a giant solar eruption known as a coronal mass ejection. So a coronal mass ejection is part of a solar storm. It's a big eruption, billions of tons of charged particles and magnetic field and light come off the sun, and it happened to be directed at Earth. So this particular storm was somewhat of a rare event, although on July 23rd of 2012, a storm of that size also erupted from the sun. It just happened to not be directed at Earth. It was directed away. It went off the backside of the sun.
Wow, a near miss.
Yeah, we got really lucky. I think at most there was a glancing blow, minor disturbances to Earth's magnetic field.
So how worried are you and other scientists that something like this is going to happen again in the near future?
Well, it's something we're always on the lookout for. You just never know when something like this is going to hit. It is something we are constantly monitoring for. There are other disturbances that happen more regularly, smaller, that have a cumulative effect on the power grids and on satellites.
So what exactly would happen to the Earth if we got a powerful blast like this directed right at the Earth?
So what happens is that very strong currents flow through, they flow through the ground. They also flow through oil pipelines and through transmission lines. So the concern is that you have a very strong current that flows through a transmission line and can explode substations. So if you lose the transformers, it takes several years to replace them, to rebuild them. There's not a stockpile of transformers. So we're concerned that something could happen that could take out many transformers in critical locations across the nation and could affect power for a very long time.
Would the average person feel anything on Earth, or is it more an electromagnetic sensation? I mean, would we get more heat, for instance?
So a human being is not necessarily going to feel the effect of it. So these kinds of solar eruptions happen all the time, and we as human beings don't notice them. The effect is on the infrastructure that's critical to our modern technology, so communication satellites and the power grids mostly.
So talk about what is going on specifically on the sun's surface. I mean, we look at the sun or try not to with our sunglasses.
Right.
But from a scientist's point of view, what is going on the surface?
Well, the sun is really fascinating. It has a strong magnetic field. And so what happens is the magnetic field on the surface gets very, very twisted up. And when it does this, you get lots of sunspots forming. And when you get lots of very twisted, very complex sunspots, that's when you can get these really big eruptions. So that's what people like me study.
And are you noticing patterns? Are you able to somehow predict when the next eruption might occur?
Well, that's exactly what we're working on. So we can sort of tell when you look at the surface that you're getting a complex structure and that something is going to happen. The sun has a cycle. We call it the solar cycle. Every 11 years, the orientation of the magnetic field flips. So we know when we're approaching a solar maximum that it's just about to flip. So we can look at those times particularly, you know, we know to pay attention then.
And in more general terms, you mentioned sort of what could happen, worst case scenario, our communications infrastructure getting a bit fried. But how does activity on the sun affect our overall weather patterns? Does it?
This is a very fascinating question and something people are just starting to study. Right now, people believe that by and large, these things are decoupled because we have this strong magnetic field that protects us from input from the sun. Although we do know that at very, very high altitudes, in the atmosphere, the solar winds affect the winds on Earth. But down on the ground, we're very protected from things that are happening at a high level.
The event that you're in Vermont for, going on in Stowe this week, is the National Science Foundation's SHINE Conference, and that stands for Solar, Heliospheric, and Interplanetary Environment. Do you expect any big announcements or discoveries to be talked about this week?
Well, this week we're talking about lots of interesting stuff, and on a scientific level, we're fascinated by what's going on. This is a very this conference is special in that it's a working group, so we spend a lot of time talking about what people's science discoveries have been and trying to move forward from there. I kind of hate to say it, but I don't think there's a major discovery that's being announced this week. But it's a meeting of the minds. It's one of the great meetings where we get together and really able to socialize in a casual setting and get our ideas sorted out.
So this area of study, if you were to go back 20 years, what sort of progress has been made in recent years? Is this the kind of field that is, you know, you're light years ahead just in the last decade, or?
Well, in some senses, yes, because we have fabulous solar viewing telescopes. So NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory just had its 5-year anniversary. And this, I believe that some of the really fascinating movies that folks see on the evening news are coming from the Solar Dynamics Observatory. So we've been able to make advances in understanding complicated structures on the sun, you know, understanding how solar flares are happening and being able to predict them a little bit. It helps our models quite a bit to have detailed data to put into them.
So, Dr. Black, I've got to ask you, what did you study to get into this line of work?
Oh, this is a great question. So I studied basic physics, and at the University of New Hampshire, where I did my PhD, I studied plasma physics. My group actually did a lot of fusion research and happened to be collaborating with my current advisor at NASA. So I got to transition my plasma physics knowledge into solar physics, and it's really been wonderful.
And you'll be giving a talk tonight on space weather at the Helen Day Arts Center in Stowe. Is that event open to the public?
It is. It is free and open to the public. It starts at 5:45. I recommend everybody come.
Well, we'll put a link to that event on our website, listeners, if you'd like more information. Well, it's wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for spending time with us and explaining about the outer space and its impact on our weather, the sun's surface, rather. It's
great.
Really
thank
cool.
Thank you so much, Nina. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Carrie Black is a scientist at the Space Weather Laboratory at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. She's in Vermont this week to attend the National Science Foundation's SHINE Conference in Stowe.